Arlene Isaacson, co-chair of the Massachusetts Gay and Lesbian Political Caucus, was instrumental in passing of gay marriage in Massachusetts. This is the 5th anniversary of gay marriage, so we're privileged to have Arlene joining us to talk about the historic background of gay marriage in Massachusetts and get her spin on the future of LGBT civil rights in this country. Hi, Arlene.
Hi, Charlotte. It's great to be here.
How are you?
Good, thank you. Very gay.
Very gay. Could you give us a little background on how gay marriage came about in Massachusetts?
There, of course, was brilliant legal work done to win the marriage lawsuit, but there was a lot behind the scenes that people aren't aware of that made a lot of changes in the way the history played itself out. There were lots of discussions years and years before the marriage lawsuit was filed about the pros and the cons of filing it to begin with. And I will confess to the historic record that for the longest time I was one of the naysayers because of a number of reasons. First, coming out of a lesbian feminist background of the 70s, many of us back then eschewed things like marriage as, I'm embarrassed to admit it now, a heterosexist institution of which we wanted nothing and no involvement. But above and beyond that, there was the political ramifications that people like me and my organization, the Mass Gay and Lesbian Political Caucus, were very worried about. We knew, for example, that to pursue marriage in Massachusetts would be an absolute guaranteed precipitator of an initiative petition to repeal it. And we knew that had that happened in the late 90s or the early 2000s, that we would never be able to stop it in our legislature, that we would never be able to defeat it on the ballot, that we would lose it in the form of a constitutional amendment, and that to turn that around in Massachusetts would have taken at least 10 years, if not 20. Ergo, we would have lost our right to marriage. Even if we won it in a court case, we would have lost it for 10 or 20 years at a minimum. So there were lots and lots of internal discussions, debates, outright fights about what was the right thing to do or not. And people like me were wrong in that it made sense to pursue a marriage lawsuit. Where we were right was we correctly calculated that there was no way we could defend it in our state legislature in 2000, 2002, 2004, 2006. It in fact took us approximately 10 years before we were able to have the votes to preserve the lawsuit win, the Goodrich decision. And during that time, our battle was, how do we delay the vote year after year after year? How do we delay it so that we can eventually have enough votes in the state legislature to win?
After gay marriage passed in 2003, the opponents tried everything in their power to reverse the decision and also to try to get gay marriage on the ballot. Could you explain the con-con process for our audience?
Well, Massachusetts is both cursed and blessed with a constitutional amendment process whereby the citizens can gather signatures like they did in California and put the question on the ballot for all to vote on, whatever issue it was, and in this case, to repeal our right to marry. Fortunately, our process requires the legislature to vote on it not once but twice before it can go to the ballot. So we knew that the only way to keep this from making it to the ballot, where we most certainly would have lost all those years, the only way to keep it from the ballot was to defeat it in the legislature. Unfortunately, our legislative process required that we have not a majority of legislators on our side, but three-quarters of the legislature on our side, 75%. So our battle here for 10 years was how do we garner 151 votes out of 200 in order to keep an anti-gay marriage ballot question from reaching the ballot where we would have lost. And that took us year after year after year, a hell of a lot of work. Because in the early years, in 2001, we had barely 50 votes in our favor. And so we had to use procedural and parliamentary devices again and again and again to try and keep it from being voted on. The same thing happened in 2004 and 5 and 6 and 7. Most of those years we did not have the votes to win, but we were building. We were building towards that. We were slowly but surely building legislative support through work in the field, through lobbying, through elections, and through cultural changes, and through some wonderful ads that people like Amy Hunt put together for us. It was a lot of work. It was 24/7 for practically 10 years running.
I remember when we were in the State House on May 13th, 2004, shooting our original short outtake with our video cameras aimed at the opponents of gay marriage just in case they tried to make one last ditch effort to keep gay marriage from happening. That was incredible.
Our opponents considered Massachusetts to be essentially ground zero on the issue of same-sex marriage. They believe that if they could defeat it here, if they could undo that lawsuit and repeal it and ban our right to marry, that they could win anywhere in the country. And there's a very good chance they were right. There's a very good chance that had we not been able to retain the right to marry for so many years here in Massachusetts, we might well have lost in other states. There was nothing like having the anchor of one state that had it to completely change the framework for how people viewed same-sex marriage. In and of itself, disabused so many people of all the most frightening thoughts they had about what would the world be like if there was same-sex marriage. I remember once in 2003, I think it was, or 2004, Mary Bonato, the brilliant attorney who won the Goodrich case, shared with me that had we not been able to defeat the anti-gay marriage constitutional amendment in Massachusetts that came up in 2001, had we not been able to defeat it then, and had the legislature said, yes, we'd like to send it to the ballot, she wondered, and some other attorneys apparently wondered, if that might not have changed the outcome of the Goodrich decision 2 years later, because then our court would have said, oh, gee, it looks like the legislature does want to send it to the people, and perhaps we ought to act accordingly. And we'll never know if that's true or not. It's total speculation, but one thing does lead to another when you're talking about movements around historic changes like this. And when Massachusetts had and retained marriage for so many years, it made it easier for other states to begin considering it, because then they did not have the burden of being the first legislature or the first court to vote with us.
With Prop 8 passing in California, have you heard any rumblings of opponents still trying to get gay marriage on the ballot here in Massachusetts?
Well, unfortunately, yes. Our opponents, when they won Prop 8 in California, it was essentially the equivalent of their tasting blood. And once you taste a little bit, the werewolf in them wants more. And so, in fact, there have been more than a few rumors that they feel emboldened by what happened in California, and they feel like, God, if they can pass it in California, it might be worth coming back to Massachusetts and giving it a shot one more time. So my organization, the Mass Gay and Lesbian Political Caucus, is preparing for just that. Do we think that it's imminent? Well, no, not as in tomorrow or the next day. Do we think it's possible? We believe strongly that the reasons we've won in this state on so many gay issues over the years has been a refusal on our part to be complacent and an insistence on our part to always man the battle stations, if you will, just in case. So that's essentially what we're doing right now. We want to make sure that they cannot come back and try one more time to succeed in the state and repeal our right to marry. We think that if we can get through five more years, just five more years of retaining our right to marry in Massachusetts, then we'll be all right. Then it will not be repealable. Then they will never be able to ban it here in Massachusetts. But we have a window of approximately 5 years where they might be able to come back and they might be able to try again, and it's our intention to do everything we can to keep that from happening, obviously.
What do you think about gay marriage about to happen in five states?
It's unbelievable to think of how many states are slowly but surely coming on board. It's the wonderful phenomenon of the domino. You get one, and it can knock over the next, and the next, and the next. In essence, it's almost what our opponents feared. And I'm proud to say that our community is fulfilling one of their fears in this regard. Usually, most of the fears of our opponents are nonsensical. But they are right that the more people see gay folks get married, the more they'll realize how absolutely inconsequential it is for them, for everyone else. For the gay folks getting married, of course, it's monumentally important. It's life-changing. It's life-affirming. The wonderful confluence of events of not only having 1,500 legal rights, benefits, protections suddenly in one fell swoop assigned to your family so that you can protect your children and you can protect your loved ones, but above and beyond that, it gives the sense to your kids that you really are a family. It's a cultural affirmation of something that is not the least bit insignificant for many, many people. So having it here will make it easier in other states. It already has, and it's a blast. It's a blast to see all these states coming one by one. And the notion that we can now have it not just on the East Coast, not just in New England, but in the wonderful state of Iowa is really a turning point, and hopefully we'll have it again on the West Coast as well. One of the things that we're seeing, which I find terrifically funny, is how the economic variable is playing out in the debate over same-sex marriage. back in 2004, when we were fighting for the right to retain our marriage rights here in Massachusetts, one of the things we determined early on we needed to do was to get the business community on our side. And back then, the arguments were a little bit squishy, but we did succeed significantly here. We went to the business world and we said, listen, it's bad for Massachusetts to have an anti-gay ballot question. It's bad for Massachusetts to have it passed. It's bad for your ability to attract and retain the best and the brightest, especially if you want to say that you're doing business in a progressive state. And we made a series of arguments like that to win over the business community. And in fact, it worked. And one by one, we were able to get first a dozen and then several dozen of the biggest mucky mucks in the business world on our side. And it helped enormously with the legislature for them to have the ear cover of seeing all these highfalutin, very moneyed, very powerful people saying, let gay marriage stand as it is. But that argument has now morphed into something different. Starting about 2 years ago, we started to see states saying, gee, gay marriage can bring business to our state. Now, by the way, this parenthetically, this is an argument we had made for years, but it wasn't really gaining traction until just about 2 years ago. And what they started to realize was, if gay folks can marry in my state, that means they're going to bring in their friends and their families for their weddings. They're going to use our hotels, our florists, our jewelers, our hairdressers. They're going to use our caterers and our restaurants, etc. It is a possible economic boon for our state. And so now states, we're finding, are beginning to factor that into their conversations about this so that it's no longer at the highest and most noble level of discussion, what's right, what's fair, what ought to be a civil right, should everyone have the right to marry. That still exists. But there is this interesting level of crass economics that's coming to play all to our advantage.
Well, especially in this economy.
Especially in this economy where states are desperate to do anything to drive business to themselves.
Do you think time is on our side?
That actually is a phrase that I use all the time to describe the phenomena of what we're dealing with here. Time is absolutely a friend to the GLBT community on this. Well, it's a friend and an enemy. The friend part is that with the passage of time, we do better and better and better on this issue. With the passage of time, more and more people from our community get married. More and more of them enjoy the benefits of it. More and more straight folks get to see their neighbors, their friends, their colleagues getting married and realizing how helpful it is to our families and how totally unaffected their own straight families are. And with the passage of time, we're seeing that the fears of our opponents are dissolving. Because one of the things we found we were up against here in Massachusetts was all the things they said would happen if gay marriage took place in Massachusetts. They essentially said that the world as they know it would be torn asunder. Western civilization would be torn asunder if we had same-sex marriage. Well, now, 5 years later, we can actually look around and say, nah, that's not exactly what's happened. The world as they know it has not changed for the worse as a result of same-sex marriage. If it's changed for the worse, it has perhaps more to do with the right wing than it does do it with us. Secondly, we're finding other phenomena as well. We know that young people vote disproportionately in support of same-sex marriage. Most of them either are thoroughly supportive of it or generally nonplussed by the whole issue. They couldn't care less. They don't understand why it's a problem. They don't understand why it's an issue. And with each passing year, that cohort, that demographic cohort, gets older. And they get more and more involved in the voting process, which is only to the advantage of the gay community. Last, we see that the senior population, those over 65, who historically were disproportionately against us, with each passing year, even they are changing their opinions. And if not that, there are fewer of them around to vote against us. So there's a lot taking place on the issue of timing that helps terrifically. But mostly, we're seeing that people's fears are being waged. You know, before we had the right for same-sex marriage, for example, the radical right used to say that if there was same-sex marriage, that their churches would be forced to marry us. And of course, as soon as we had same-sex marriage in Massachusetts, we proved that wasn't the case, and that we had been saying it for years, but they didn't believe us. And suddenly now we can point to the fact that there is not a single Catholic church, for example, in Massachusetts that was ever forced to perform a same-sex marriage. Ditto every other denomination that doesn't support us. But we are able to show that there are so many religious faith traditions that support same-sex marriage, and they have voluntarily chosen to participate in our marriage rights. And what a wonderful and a positive thing it has been for everyone. The last thing we're seeing is that their fear of the negative ramifications for their own straight marriages hasn't appeared. There were all sorts of silly and nonsensical arguments used against our right to marry, including the fact that it would somehow do harm to heterosexual marriages, and in fact, none of that has taken place.
What are your hopes for our LGBT community in the Obama administration?
Well, I think we are very lucky to have a very pro-GLBT administration after 8 years of a desert. No, we didn't have a desert with the Bushes. We had an enemy with the Bushes, someone who went out of their way to deny us rights and take away those that we had. So this is an absolute sea change that our community will benefit from 1,000%. Now, will the Obama administration be everything we hope and want? I doubt it. There's no way that they could be as pro-GLBT as many of us would like, because the political stars are not yet aligned to allow that to happen. But they're going to be pretty damn good, and we will see through regulations changes that we would never have dreamed possible under a Bush administration. We will see an absolute movement forward towards equality and against discrimination, and we'll see a president who, while he might say that he doesn't support same-sex marriage, he will say he doesn't support constitutional amendments at the federal level to ban it, and in fact, at state level as well. So that is an enormous bully pulpit that will now be working in our favor.
And when do you think the gay word will pass from his lips?
Well, it's very clear to everyone that he supports our community. Whether he uses the G word or not, he's on our side. And I think there's little doubt in the straight world that that's the case. And to me, the bottom line is, where's the beef? I don't care about people's words. I care about their actions. I care about their deeds. I care about their policies, their laws, their regulations. And while to me it would be wonderful to have them say all the words, because words do matter, where's the beef is even more important.
What difference has gay marriage had on our community?
Well, it's had really wonderful effects and really bad ones. Mostly 95% really wonderful ones. And those are that for the first time ever, our families are protected. For the first time ever, we can provide to our children economic and legal protections that previously were unimaginable. We can have our families be just like everybody else in the most important and fundamental ways imaginable. That you don't have to worry about health insurance and pension issues. Of course, we still have to worry about not being able to access Social Security for our families, and that won't change until DOMA is repealed. But we're moving completely in the right direction in that regard. And our kids feel better about it. Our seniors, gay seniors in the states that have same-sex marriage are markedly better protected now than they were before from the financial challenges of old age and going into nursing homes and what happens to their assets and leaving their partner of 50 years essentially without any funds for them to live. So there's a lot going on that's entirely good. And our neighbors and our friends and our colleagues and our families are seeing us differently now, better now, more like them now. They're seeing how regular and traditional and downright boring our families are. And that's making a sea change of difference in the way they think of us. I mean, really, the only downsides that I can think of to same-sex marriage is that gay folks have just lost one of the key indicators of how you tell if someone's gay or not. You know, back in the day, it used to be if you wanted to know if someone is gay, you check out, are they 40 years old and they're not wearing a wedding ring? Well, that's a tip. It's a possible cue. And we've lost that. So my friends and I all joke now, are they? Aren't they? I don't know. What do you think? Well, gee, they've got a wedding ring on. But who knows what that means?
Right. You're absolutely right. What would you like to see happen for our LGBT community's civil rights in 2009?
Well, we have come a long, long way in the last 20, 30 years. The Mass Gay and Lesbian Political Caucus has actually been involved in all the legislative battles, led them in the last 30 years in Massachusetts, and we've made enormous progress in this state and in others. But we still have a ways to go. We still have to fight for transgender rights. We still have to fight for GLBT youth, for GLBT seniors. And the one thing we can guarantee is that we're all going to become seniors at some point or another. Well, at least that's preferable to the alternative. We still have to fight for issues having to do with education policy, with AIDS and HIV. So there's lots of work to be done, but we're finally beginning to hit a stride where we're moving in the right direction, where our community is no longer obsessed with being victims, but seeing the possibilities of being winners. And that will be to the benefit of all of us.
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through times like these?
You know, I have many. And whenever things would be really bad, the one thing I used to say often during the constitutional conventions on anti-gay marriage, when some of our allies and coalition members would be so down in the dumps or so nervous or worried or downright scared about trying a legislative strategy that was not guaranteed for success, and they'd say, oh, I don't know if we can do it, and they'd say, maybe we shouldn't, and maybe we'll lose. And the one thing I always could say to them with absolute certainty was this. I'd say, I can't guarantee that this strategy will cause us to win, but I can guarantee that if we don't try, we're going to lose. We have no place to go but up. There's no point in not trying, because trying is the only thing that might get us there. Not trying will guarantee defeat. I believe from the bottom of my heart that that really should inform the work of any oppressed population, and certainly the GLBT community. We have no place to go but up. And if we keep trying, if we don't give up, we really will win. There is no doubt in my mind we're going to prevail on this marriage issue, for example. One of the things that I used to tell legislators who were nervous about the fact that if they dared to vote with us, to follow their hearts and do the right thing, that they would lose their next election. And I spent hours and hours, as did many of us, talking to these legislators. And one of the things that we often said was this. We suggested that they look not to the next election, but they look to 10 and 20 years from that point. And I'd say, you know, think about where you're going to be in 20 years when your children or your grandchildren turn to you and they say, see, Dad, 20 years ago, back in the dark ages, when people were against same-sex marriage, why was that? Or why did you vote against it? Or why would anyone have opposed it? And I'd suggest to them that they think about how they're going to answer that question, not tomorrow, but in 20 years. What are they going to say when they look into the eyes of their children and get asked that tough question? Do they want to view themselves as the Orville fathers of the world standing in the schoolhouse door with their arms crossed saying, you can't come in? Or do they want to be the person who said, you know, it was scary and I was worried that I'd lose the next election, but I knew in my heart and my mind it was the right thing to do. And I knew that just like it was wrong to make interracial marriages illegal, so too was it wrong to make same-sex marriages illegal. And so I rose to the occasion and I did the right thing. And interestingly enough, what we found is that in telling those sorts of stories to legislators, frequently they came back to us a year later and said that was the turning point for them. That imagining the conversation they'd have with their kids and grandkids 20 years from now changed a lot of them from opponents to supporters.
Well, thank you so much, Arlene.
My pleasure, and happy fifth anniversary to everyone.